Good morning, Tom Brady.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's new since last we talked?
I know. It feels like about a month's gone by, hasn't it?
Man, oh, man. Well, it's been easy pickings for talk show hosts, I can tell you that. Let's get the easy one out of the way right off the top, Tom. Is Charlie Casserly's report true? Did you and Randy go toe-to-toe, have to be separated, and eventually exchange some grooming insults?
No, certainly not. So that was, I don't know why these things come about, but, they do. I think it's just a competitive, media culture out there now. And, there's certainly between Randy and I love the guy as a person, as a player. And I don't think I've ever had an altercation with a teammate. So, I think you demand a certain level of respect in the locker room. I mean, I think that's the culture of our team, and I don't think I've ever seen any players in our locker room fight. That's just not the way it is.
Tom, somebody in the organization told me, explaining to me the trade this way. Randy needed two things in his mind. Well, three, actually. The need to be respected, and I think the coach respected him, and I think you did, and based on everything we hear, his teammates did as well. But the other two things Randy wanted and needed and required was a new contract, and it was clear he wasn't going to get it, and failing that, to be, as the person told me, have the offense centered around Randy Moss. Now, based on the evolution of this offense, do you suspect that was a problem in Randy's mind in that he was becoming more of a decoy and less of a deep threat, utilizing the tight ends and the Welkers and the Edelmans of the world, and that might have rubbed Randy the wrong way? Was that source of mine kind of accurate with the description of what's going on?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, I really don't. And, with all due respect to, all the different questions I'm sure you guys have about Randy, I mean, I think he's moved on. I mean, he played for another team last night, and we've moved on. I mean, we had two practices last week, and we're prepared to move on, as we always have. And that doesn't diminish anything that he's done or has accomplished for our team, because he's obviously an exceptional player. But we've got a season to play. So really, what happened last week in my mind is come and gone, and we've got to prepare for our toughest test of the season coming up.
You mentioned moving forward, and I was looking ahead. How can the offense be just as effective or more effective when you lost the best deep threat the NFL has ever seen?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's a great question, and that remains to be seen with our offense. I mean, I can tell you, 20 different ways, but we got to go out there and do it. I mean, I don't think there's any one solution. You just don't replace a guy like a guy with Randy's talent and ability down the field. You replace it with maybe using the strengths of other players. So Randy certainly has his strengths. Wes has his strengths. And the tight ends have their strengths. And I think it's up to the coaching staff and when you game plan to determine what your players do the best. And those are things that you ultimately do. And, believe me, I still think we have a lot of confidence that we can move the football. It just may be a little bit different than what you've seen. And who knows if it's better or worse, but that remains to be seen for all of us.
Yeah, without giving away the game plan, that's you sort of took me where I wanted to go. Are we going to notice a difference, Tom, in the way the offense runs? Offense on the field longer, more sustained drives, featuring the young talent, I don't want to say dinking and dunking and short stuff, but a rhythm kind of offense that we've seen in the past without Randy there. Fair to say?
I don't know. I mean, the truth is I don't know. I'd love to have an offense that controls the tempo of the game and controls the clock by running it. And you have these certainly high percentage passes with the different players that we have, but I think we still have some explosive players in the passing game. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Whether it's, Brandon Tate, I mean, you see what he can do on kickoff returns. His ability to make that more of a threat on offense is something that, as a second-year player, of course he's trying to do. Aaron Hernandez, I mean, he's had the biggest pass plays all season for this team. You know, add in a guy like Deion. I mean, Deion has caught a lot of deep balls in his, you know, in his career. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that have that explosive ability in the pass game. Obviously, there's you've got to get West down the field. You got to get Gronkowski down the field. You see what kind of plays he can make. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of guys that can do different things, short, intermediate, deep in the passing game, and that's what you need as a good offense. You need multiple threats, and you need guys that can do multiple things. So, I mean, I think that's the goal of our offense.
You guys were great together, Tom. I mean, I hate to get nostalgic, but 2007 was the greatest year a quarterback and a receiver ever had together, and I can't help but think that some part of you was disappointed. That had to be something special. Hooking up with Moss that season, throwing 50 touchdown passes, him catching 23. I mean, that's over. Isn't there a part of you that's disappointed?
Well, you know, I think that's a great question. It's a, I mean, that season's kind of come and gone too. And
right.
That was a magical year for all of us. There was just a lot of different things that happened over the course of the season that contribute to that. I don't think it's just a quarterback receiver. I think what we've shown over the years is that the right guard is just as important as the guy you're throwing to. And the running back picking up in blitz protection is just as important. And I think to have an offense that you're talking about, you know, you got to have a group of guys that are committed to playing their role and doing their job. And if your role is to catch the touchdown pass, that's what you got to do. If your role is to, you know, make a third and one because we're running behind the left side of our line, we've got to do that. And, I mean, it's so easy in football just to watch the ball and say, wow, that's why it happened. But, I mean, there's a number of things that need to happen in order for a play to be successful. And I think that's why I've always enjoyed being a part of this team and being a part of this organization, because that's what Coach Belichick emphasizes. It's certainly not about one player or one pass or one run or one tackle or one interception. It's about all of us complementing each other and doing the things that we do well in order to breed team success. And I think that's what I'm excited about this season. I think we've shown that's what we're capable of, and you know, we got to see how it plays out over the course of a long year.
Tom, here's my final question about Randy Moss. Did anyone in the organization run the potential trade by you before they made the deal with Minnesota?
Certainly not. And that's, you know, I'm a player on this team. I'm just like all the other players. And, you know, obviously I talk a lot to the coaches, and they talk to the players. You know, they never come and say, well, what do you think about this? I mean, no, I mean, we show up to work and we do our job. And I think that's the best way to handle things as a player, because I've become very emotional in the past about losing certain players, and I think that's affected me, which in turn has impacted the team. And I think when you're an older player on the team and you've seen guys come and go and you win and you lose, and to be level-headed and to not be unemotional but to be maybe not surprised, you just go about your business and you try to put it behind you and move forward with the guys you got, because that's what you really owe the team. And we're as competitive as every team. We're trying to win every single game. And you got to do that sometimes different ways. And the shape of the team always is changing from week to week with injuries and guys playing well and guys not playing as well. And those are the guys that you really rely on, the guys that are playing well and the guys that are making those plays, and that's what we've obviously got to do this week.
What about with Branch? Does that apply to Deion Branch? Because I can't imagine that if you heard rumors that you wouldn't have raised your hand and said, let's get him here. We know how disappointed you were when they shipped him out of town. Did you try to put in your two cents when you heard that Branch might be coming back this way?
Well, I mean, I think between teammates, you obviously, if you hear something, you know, maybe you'll say something. But at the same time, I never had a conversation with Coach Belichick about it. So, I mean, I think he knows the kind of player that he wants and that he's looking for. And It's very much the same type of player that you've seen here over the years, the Brewskis, the Vrabels, the McGinnis, the Ty Laws, you know, those character guys that, you know, a guy like Dion is, whenever those guys become available, I'm sure that's the kind of player Coach Belichick jumps at.
Tom, there was so much talk last night about Randy Moss's assimilation into their system. They said, how can he be effective in the two-minute drill? He doesn't know all the plays. Obviously, that's a difficult transition for a guy to make in 4 or 5 days. Is it going to be easier on Dion Branch? Is the terminology the same as it was when he was here? Has much changed? Do you suspect this will be a quicker assimilation for Dion?
I'm not sure how much Dion has retained over the years. Dion's a very smart player, so, I mean, he's going to have certainly his work cut out for him. There's a lot to catch up on. I wouldn't say things are exactly the way they were when he left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've evolved quite a bit from that offense that we were running. Some of the things I'm sure are very familiar to him, but, you know, some of the things are very different as well. So I'm sure there'll be a pretty steep learning curve for him. Hopefully he gets up to speed as quickly as possible because, you know, we'll need him this week.
I know this is simplistic, but you've heard it a lot in the last week. Who can stretch the field for you now, Tom? Is Dion Branch still able to do that, or does that fall to Brandon Tate?
I think it's got to be everybody. I mean, I really do. There's, as I said, Brandon has great, I mean, if it's just pure speed, like a 40-yard dash, I mean, that's not necessarily football. So, obviously, you know, that's in reference to Randy and what he's able to do to stretch the field, and he's a very unique player at that. There's certainly other guys that we throw the ball long to as well, and that's a great thing to have in the offense. It's certainly not the only thing you need in offense. I mean, you need a lot of things, so... The short passes complement the long passes and vice versa. You're right. If you throw the ball underneath all day long, the field is going to get compressed. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think we've ever been gun-shy about taking shots down the field. And the guys that are in the game, we have a lot of confidence in that they'll be able to make the plays. So it's not like the game plan, you know, you all say, okay, well we're going to throw 3-yard passes all day. And that's not our offense. Our offense is our offense, and you know, the coaches spent a lot of time game planning this week, and I'm sure we're going to have short passes, intermediate passes, long passes, inside runs, outside runs. I mean, you're going to have everything that we've always had. That's just the way the offense is set up.
Tom, in that offensive playbook number 3, maybe on page like 495, was there or is there a play that had Randy Moss throw a pass to you?
No. No, certainly not. Well, I don't know if you wanted him throwing it or if you wanted me catching it.
Yeah.
But there's not many. I did see the first play of the game last night and kind of got a laugh.
Why was Favre ineligible?
Because the quarterback can't receive the ball downfield if you start from under center.
Okay.
Because you're technically an ineligible receiver. If you're in the shotgun,
yeah.
You become an eligible receiver and you can catch balls down the field, but you can't catch a forward pass if you start under center.
See, Brad Childress didn't know that.
Yeah.
Would Bill Belichick have known that?
Of course, and I think Childress knew it. I'm not so sure Favre knew it. It did look like he was supposed to go out on that pass.
Well, he's only been doing it 19 years. Well, you wouldn't have the rules down yet.
You think
you?
With that much trickeration, you'd go for more than a 6-yard throw.
Well, it looked like they were trying to get Shanko down the field, and the Jets didn't bite on it, and Favre was trying to block, and he slipped out, and Randy instinctively threw him the ball, and Favre instinctively caught it, but it all goes for naught when you're ineligible. So.
Were you sitting there last night watching this, like rooting outwardly for Moss and the Vikings, obviously taking on your division rival, or do you sit with no passion at all and just kind of let it wash over you?
I watched probably the first quarter of the game, and I'm probably watching. I'm definitely rooting for the Vikings. There's no doubt about that, and rooting for Randy. But I'm also watching the scheme stuff that the Jets are doing and how they're trying to attack the Vikings. I think that's probably what I'm watching for. So You know, they have a good scheme on defense. You saw they were getting to Favre quite a bit. They got a lot of pressure in their defense, and it was hard for Minnesota to move the ball. I didn't see what happened the second half, but obviously the Vikings found a little bit of rhythm on offense, but just didn't seem to be enough. You know, with the Jets defense, and they play well, and they got a lot of good players, and they play well at home. So they're a good team. They're going to be, you know, they're tough to beat. You got to play a great game to beat them.
Hey, Tom, you told us a couple of weeks ago that you didn't know who you would just pass for career touchdowns and all those kinds of things. So I suspect you don't know that in career passing, you're number 30th in the league with 31,775 yards, which just happens to be 45% of what Brett Favre has racked up in 70,190 yards. Can you put your brain around 70,000 yards passing?
It's pretty incredible. You know, I could see why he's got elbow tendonitis, because that's a hell of a lot of throws. He's a great player, a great competitor. I mean, he's fun to watch, and I mean, he's so resilient and tough. I think that's really what stands out when you're watching different players. I love to watch Favre, and I love to watch Peyton, and I love to watch Drew Brees, and some of the guys who have proven over the years how consistent they are, because you can gain a lot from them, and He's an incredible player. So I really admire, you know, his ability and what he's able to do and how he's able to lead his team. He plays with such emotion, and I think it's pretty exceptional to watch him over the years do that consistently, and to take the field as many times as he has in a row is unbelievable, because I know the toll that it takes, and it's pretty mind-blowing what he's accomplished.
Hey, Tom, wherein lies the value of the extra week of preparation that the bye provides, other than, I suspect, you putting your feet on the floor yesterday morning and not having everything hurt?
Yeah, that's important, and there's a lot of things that we worked on last week that you just want to continue to try and grow and evolve. And you reflect on the last four games, and you think, man, what are the things that have worked and what are the things that haven't worked, and what kind of team are we, and how do we see ourselves, and how are the teams seeing us, and what are we going to need to do moving forward? Because you're right, you don't have a lot of time in a regular week to do those things. You're just kind of in the grind, and this has really given us a chance to reflect on our offense and what we need to do and how we need to get better. There's a lot of areas I think we need to improve that we've worked on, and we got 4 days of practice this week, which is great, because you need it against a team like Baltimore. And hopefully we put our best foot forward. I mean, I'm really excited about being at work and trying to accomplish what we're really setting out for.
Well, 9 months ago, Tom, the Baltimore came up here and just disemboweled you guys. I was wondering, during this bye week, did you spend much time on that game film? And what? Why should we expect it to be any different? I mean, they look like they might be better this year than they were last year.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think they've added a lot of guys, and they're playing extremely well. They play well on the road. I think any team that plays defense the way they do, they're going to be in it for the entire season. Your defense, that defense is pretty exceptional. It has been for a long time. So they got a good scheme, and you're right. They beat us up pretty good. I mean, that was probably the worst beating we've had in a long time. And we just could never get in any rhythm. And offensively, certainly we have an awful day for us. So I mean, if you guys don't think we can do any better than that, then maybe you guys just shouldn't watch.
Well,
but
Tom,
I certainly think we can play better than that.
Tom, I'll say this. Even when Bill is talking about an upcoming opponent that might be like a culinary school from Rhode Island, he says, you know, great offense, great defense, great schemes, great special teams. When he tells us all of that this week about Baltimore, he's not lying to us this week, right?
No, he's not. And that's, they got veteran players. I mean, it seems like it's always the same cast of characters too that they have. I mean, they have always they play a certain brand of football, and they get guys they draft guys to fit that scheme and what they do. And it all starts with their leadership and the guys, Ray Lewis. I mean, when you think of Baltimore, you think of him.
Right.
So they've added receivers. They got a great back, great quarterback, great O-line, deep end, and they got everything. So it's just, you got to play very well. You can't go out there and make mistakes and expect to beat them. And that's a great challenge for a team. And I think we feel like we've made a lot of improvements too. And, you know, we got a pretty damn good offense. And we got a damn good defense. And our special teams has proven that it's capable. And now we got to test it up against a great team. So that's why we're going out there. That's why we're working hard, because you know that there's not a lot of margin for error this week. And this team has proven they can win on the road, and they've won here on the road. So, I mean, I don't think we think just because we're playing at home, we got this great advantage. I think the advantage that we'll have is if we play really well, that'll be our advantage.
Tom, go ahead.
That's what I'd like for us to be able to do.
Final question for me. In terms of offensive scheming and planning and accounting for a guy and making sure he's accounted for, where does Ray Lewis rate with Revis in terms of a game changer that you and the offense have to deal with?
Yeah, and he's a bit different than Revis in that when you stand at the middle linebacker and you're right in the middle of the defense, he really makes plays from sideline to sideline. He makes them in the run game. He makes them in the passing game. He's really the emotional leader of that team. I mean, when Ray blows somebody up, it's huge. I mean, it's huge for that whole defense. And a cornerback, you know, he's on the outside part of the field. You know, look, if you don't want to throw at him, you don't have to. With a guy like Ray Lewis, you got to deal with him on every play. So I think that's the one thing about Ray is that he can do it all. And he's been able to do it all for a long time. So extreme, not only along with his talent physically, but his instincts are the best they've, I mean, as good as anybody who's ever played. So, you know, I love playing against them because you can just stare at them right across the line of scrimmage and know that you're playing against one of the greatest linebackers of all time.
Well, you disappointed then that you don't get to play against one of the greatest safeties without Ed Reed out there?
I am not disappointed at all about that. I don't ever want to play that guy.
Hey, maybe that's something you could hang your hat on. No Ed Reed out there, even though the Ravens are rolling. Hey, lastly, Tom, I'm sure you were all tucked in bed by the time Randy addressed the media, and he looked in the cameras and said, and addressed you, said, "I know you're watching, buddy. I appreciate the text. Sorry, we didn't bring it home, buddy, but I appreciate the text." And then they followed it up with, what did he say in the text? And Randy wouldn't reveal it. Can you? What did you say to Randy in the text that he appreciated so much?
Well, that's between.
Oh.
That's between.
Just.
But, yeah, he's, you know, like I said, I've always, you know, he's something special. So, you know, he'll certainly be missed, but we've got to move on.
Can you confirm you didn't send him any racy pictures with the text?
Oh, man, that's terrible. That's terrible.
He looked like he trimmed his beard, though. I think you got to him.
Yeah, I think I might have taken your advice.
Yeah.
When you're up here in the wintertime, I'm telling you, hair's good up here. Long hair, long beard. So it's starting to get that football weather here in October, November, December is when is when you appreciate playing in the Northeast right here, when these weather conditions become a little bit more unpredictable.
Yeah, you told us 3 weeks ago you were not going to let it get to the ponytail stage, and it's just about there, Tom.
Yeah, it's there. It's there. I haven't broken the ponytail out yet. I got to really build up some self-esteem before I do that, because I know I'll take a lot of heat.
Yeah, I'm sure you're self-esteem.
Favre is the all-time leader now in fumbles. I'm not sure if you were awake for that one, Tom, but do you know where you rank and how many fumbles you have?
I haven't been very good with ball security in the pocket over the years, so I wouldn't think I'm. That's one of the stats that I really look to that I'm proud of. So where do I rank?
You are 49th all time with 70 fumbles. You're tied with David Carr. I always hear you two mentioned in the same breath. You and David Carr and Jeff George all have 70. Really? Yeah.
And Randy has, I mean, Brett has?
Brett has 163 now, I believe.
You got a long way to go.
So you got a ways to go to catch him.
How many have I lost? I haven't lost 70. There's no way that's happened.
It just says, this is on Pro Football Reference, all-time fumbles. And you're number 49 with 70, it says. I don't know. We'll have to check, see how many you lost. Have you managed to keep your hands on most of those, you think?
I think so. Probably most of them. Maybe, at least half of them, I would think.
Yeah.
By the way, Vince said he'll kick your ass in the sprint. He told Dale and Hall.
I know. Believe me, he told me that, too. So I told him, whatever he wants, I've got my my Michael Johnson golden spikes ready whenever he wants me.
Let us know when it happens. We'd like to see it.
Yeah, that would be something to see.
All right, Tom, good luck next week. We'll talk to you on Patriot Monday next Monday.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tom Brady with Dennis and Callahan.